Accession number 27799, Mr. Laurie Godfrey, Reel 3. Now, we've just done sort of this first raid at Essen. I mean, some of it's relating to the other raids. It's what we call a typical raid. But, yeah. You know, now, you do many more raids, you know, and I just wondered, there's a couple of things mentioned that you might recall them. There's one where Cologne, the Astro's blown off. That sounds quite neat.
That's right. That was just beyond the pilot where the engineer used to. He put his head up there and scanned. And actually, luck would have it, he hadn't got his head there at the time. A bit of flak had took the top of it off. Because I don't suppose there was many who could say that their plane hadn't been hit by the flak at different times. You know, when the shell bursts, it's a lot of them have got down the fuselage and that. You've got holes in the fuselage, bit
and
of flak.
That was just that occasion. That was on the.
As long as it never hit you. Yes.
That was on the 28th of October on a raid over Cologne.
Yeah.
And then the next one I know, another raid on Cologne. It says you're attacked by an ME-110.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you remember of that?
Well, I remember the rear gunner calling out, corkscrew port, go. So we knew we was being attacked by somebody.
Now, what was that like? What happened in a corkscrew?
Corkscrew? Well, the pilot just. If it's corkscrew port, he would go down the port, go into the attack, down, up, away. Well, they had to fix their sights onto you, didn't they? But our rear gunner, he could move it, and they drove him off. I don't know whether they shot him down or drove him off.
It doesn't say, it just
no,
says
I think
by
I drove him off, yeah, I think I drove him away.
And what was it like in the plane when they did a corkscrew? It sounded like you'd be flung about
all
over the place.
As you're going down like that, you're hitting the roof. And as he comes up, you're pressed right down. You know. Yeah, it's a funny feeling, really.
Yeah. But it worked.
Yep.
Now,
I'll say we had a good crew, a good pilot.
That's Lawn Case, isn't it, that's still doing all this time. Now, here on Oberhausen, four attacks by enemy aircraft, two shot down, one confirmed, one probable.
That's
now, what do you remember of that? That was on the 1st of November.
Well, that was a bit air-raising that night.
Tell us as much as you remember about that then.
Well, all we seemed to be doing was corkscrewing. And I know they shot, I think they shot two down. They said one shot down, one probable. And the others were drove off out of the four. We lost the other two.
And what was it like for you? I mean, you couldn't do anything.
Well, quite air-raising that is, because, you know, they was onto us straight away. But once you open up, and if any other fighters around, they've got a beeline on you. We managed to get rid of two of them, and as I say, they got those two. Well, then when you go back to for your interrogation, that all comes out. And all the crews that are interrogated round the globe, that's reported, and others report what they've seen go down, and that's how they were given the DFM, because that was awarded to them for shooting those two down.
And then you've got operations on Dusseldorf and then Bochum, where there's one attack, aircraft, another plane.
Yeah, we had a Ju-88 he got. I think the Ju-88 was...
That's Duisburg, I think. That's his attack and driven off.
Yeah, he was coming up below us underneath because they had an up-firing gun, the old Ju-88. So if they got underneath you, you wouldn't see them, and that was that. But our rear gunner saw him and... they see him go down.
So
they had two good gunners.
That was the Bochum raid then?
Yeah, it was. No, Duisburg was the Ju-88.
It just says attack and driven off there, but perhaps you thought
on
it was shot down.
Yeah.
The Bochum one is one attack, aircraft shot down, doesn't say what type. And then on the Duisburg it says Ju-88 driven off.
Yeah, I think the other one was ME-109. I haven't got it down there.
No.
Oh.
It doesn't say there, no.
Yeah. Because whatever was put in there, that was signed by the your wing commander at the end of the time. Right.
And anything else you remember about these raids? Or is the next one this, the you've got quite a lot about the 23rd of you stop flying with Case, don't you?
With Case, yeah. Yeah, well, what happened to him was we had to put down at Eye in Suffolk. We'd been to Dusseldorf, I think, was that right? And it was quite foggy and icy and quite a lot of snow. And we put down at Eye, which was an American aerodrome at the time, and we were there for 3 days, actually. But we went out the next morning and looking around the aircraft, and the pilot happened to get on the port wing, and he slipped off the trailing edge, broke his Achilles heel. So that was the end of Lorne. He went back to Canada, I think, and we had to wait there. They sent another pilot to us, Flight Lieutenant Fleming, I believe it was, who took us back to base. And then we picked up Mr. Smith coming back on his second tour of Ops.
That's Flight Lieutenant Smith.
Flight Lieutenant
Smith. Do you know his first name?
No. Smithy, we used to call him.
It's an imaginative nickname, isn't
quite
it?
Quite a nice bloke, he was all right, he was all right, yeah.
And I mean, the rest of the crew seemed to stay pretty much the same.
Yes, yeah.
Now, anything you remember about, I mean, we're moving into 1945 now. Did, you know, did you, when you start flying with him,
well,
it's late back end of January into...
We met him and had a chat and everything and went out on, you know, couple of training flights, I think. No, he was quite a good pilot. I mean, he'd already done a tour of Ops anyway.
So you start again on operations over Germany, Mainz,
yeah,
Osterfeld, yeah. Gok, Warnig.
Well, I think nearly all mine were over Germany anyway. Yeah.
They seem to be, yeah, I can't see.
They did, yeah.
Any particular raid you remember in this time?
Well, our longest flight was to Chemnitz. That was 10 hours. That flight, quite a long flight. That
Chemnitz,
one.
Chemnitz,
yeah. That's up near Czechoslovakia. I think it was the time that Mr. Stalin was asking Mr. Churchill for support from the Bomber Command to soften up the ground for his troops coming in, and that's the time when they bombed Dresden.
But you weren't on that one.
We weren't on that one. We went.
You went
which
to
is not far, but Chemnitz.
Now, it says hydraulics unserviceable. Do you remember that?
Oh, the hydraulics went, and then of course you have to use them by hand for winding the undercarriage down and that.
But nothing other than that?
No. The accumulators, they was knocked out at one time, but then you also had you had a spare set on the other side.
Now, anything about any of these other raids that you remember? I don't know whether to pass them over, you know, just anything that comes to mind.
As you'll say, quite a lot was, we was diverted quite a lot as well. Chemnitz, Hydraulic, Castrop Rauxel, Witten. All our troubles seemed to be during the November of 44. When we had most of our problems with the fighters, never seemed to have any trouble after that.
Were things getting easier as the I mean, the Allies pushed forward? I mean,
yeah, I think so. Yeah, see, we started doing well as we come into March. We were doing quite a few daylight raids then.
Now, what were the daylight raids like?
All right, yeah, no troubles at all. Had no trouble, no.
Were you ever combed?
No, thank God. If we had have been, yeah.
Well, I mean, were they normally shot down if they were combed?
A lot of them were, yeah. Well, once I got in there, for Master Searchlight, got on them, the rest got on there, and the only way they could dive, the only way they could really get out of it, I think, was to dive straight down the beam, which a lot of them did. We managed to get out, but 9 times out of 10, they was caught. Once I was caught in that, that was it.
Now, anything else about that, you know, the raids in the last couple of months of the war?
No, there's nothing in there. It's,
did you get more nervous?
I can't think of anything. I mean, where it's in there, there's nothing there. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a normal raid, like, you know.
Did you Did you get more nervous as you went on, or less nervous? Because you get towards your tour at the end of your tour of operations.
Well, we've done 32.
April, you're getting towards the end. Just as the war's coming to an end, you're also getting to the end of... I mean, did it get worse when you're thinking, oh, I've only got three to go, two to go, one to go?
No, never bothered.
Were you very conscious of when the tour was ending? I mean, did you know how many you'd done and how many you had to do?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Did you look forward to it, or were you just not bothered?
Well, we knew we was on our last help. 32.
Do you remember much about that last operation? Looks like Gablingen.
Gablingen, airfield, I think it was. Yeah. No, I can't, no. Nothing I can think of. If I've got nothing in there, there's nothing I can...
They're all in Halifax 7s as well.
On Halifax 7, yeah. And that's a report from the wing commander there. No, on the book itself, across here.
And that's saying you've done 32 sorties and 214 flying hours.
See, we got that from the Canadians, but I don't know whether the RAF got that at all.
I'm not sure. It was signed on the 21st of April by your wing commander of the Royal Canadian Force. You know, I mean, what would you do in the? I mean, just to go back to what would you do in the evenings? You know, when you weren't on a raid, because I mean, you went on a lot of raids. But I used to
like to go a local, a couple of pints, have a game of darts, or there'd be somebody on the piano, and that's some good nights, really. You know.
Would you drink much? Some people think 6 pints is a lot. Some people think it's hard to start.
Oh, no, nothing like that. A couple of pints would do me. Oh, I've never been a big drinker.
So a couple of pints and a game of darts would settle you.
Darts, yeah. There were 3 pubs in the village, right, you know. And so I've got other things here that you might be interested in. I mean, that's when they got their Distinguished Medal.
This is a count of the ones we were talking about, yeah.
That's the 2 gunners, you see. And also our wing commanders, yeah.
Rumenchuk Thomas and Schutger Daniel, these are their things. But you would, I'd say, you wouldn't know an awful lot about them in the sense that your visibility was, I mean, they had much better visibility at the back than you did.
A lot of people say, didn't you all get Dev? No. They're the boys that shot the carry aircraft down, as far as I'm concerned. They earned the medal, not me.
So what happened when you finished your tour?
That was another part. That is the spring newsletter, 203, that gives it down there about them.
It's the four Germans fighters that were shot down. I mean, was it realised that was quite a...
That is in the paper. You've seen it all, haven't you?
They can't see it on the tape, that's all. I'm pretty sure. No. Was it seen as a big achievement? It looks like it was, to shoot down 4.
Well, I thought so, yeah.
That was unusual, wasn't it?
Yep, I think so. Yeah, they were very good, 2 very good gunners, sharp-eyed, yeah. I think possibly, and I think it has happened, once you've left the target and you're on your way back, some probably relaxed a bit too much, you know what I mean? These boys, there was no talking or anything, they've got their eyes about.
So they concentrated right back?
Well, you had to, because sometimes they'd follow you back. I mean, a lot have been shot down over their own aerodrome when they come back, followed back.
Now, what happened when
you don't want that, do you? No.
I'll look at it.
It's nothing to do with it.
Now, what about when you finish your tour? What happened then?
I was posted to Blackpool. Back to Blackpool going. I don't think I even wrote that down there. I was posted back to Blackpool and we used to go down to the North Pier every morning at 10 o'clock for postings. a posting come through for me to go to Gibraltar, which was cancelled the following day because of my release number. And from there, I went down to Stradishaw in Suffolk. No, I haven't put that on there. And I was there for about a couple of months, and then I moved down to number 46 group headquarters at Bushy Hall near Watford. And my job then was just wireless operating, on duty, sending messages, receiving messages. And I was the only aircrew bloke there.
You weren't flying at all, you were just
ground. No, it was all
ground.
Yeah.
Did you regret leaving the aircrew, or were you?
Oh, yeah. Things weren't the same. I did put in for, we had to remuster, you see. I put in for MT, but never got it. I had to stay on wireless operating. Very boring. Yeah.
Now, what about your promotion? Did you get promoted?
Yeah, as soon as you passed the gunnery school, we got sergeant. Year after that, we were flight sergeant. Then, you see, I got the warrant up there.
The warrant officer?
Yeah, put it to that. And then on July the 1st in 1946, they altered the rate of pay and they demoted us. If you wasn't on flying at all, they demoted you down to sergeant again. There's so many of us hanging about, I suppose they didn't know what to do. We'd served our purpose, and that was it. Still, that didn't matter.
How did you feel about that?
Ah, it didn't bother me, really, because our rank really never meant anything on with the ground crew. I think it was given because we was air crew, and it was said that if you were brought down over the other side, you should have been treated as an NCO. But on a lot of occasions, that never happened, I suppose.
Now, what about, was there ever any question of you being sent to the Far East?
No.
That never arose, as far as you
know? No, not for me.
Well, what about your demob? You were demobbed in September 1946 at Uxbridge.
Yeah.
Anything about your demob do you remember?
Yes, I had a pinstripe suit. Yeah.
So nothing special. Was it nothing a decent special. Suit?
Pardon?
Was it a decent suit?
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah.
Now, what were you going to do? You come out, you've been a baker's delivery boy. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean,
I was crackers on driving. So I got on the London Transport. But at that time, I was 23 and you had to be 25. 25, I think it was, or 26, 25, before you could go driving. So I'd done bus conducting on the London Transport, and then I went for a driving test, passed that all right, so I was driving for about 3 years. I left that and went on to the Blue Circle Cement and drove for them for 14 years. And the depot closed down, they moved across to Kent, and I went on the gas board were wanting people then when they were doing this changeover from the gas, you know, to the, what was it, natural gas, wasn't it? And that come to an end after 2 years, and they moved up to Bromley in London. And there was another job advertised for Bow Water Scott, the paper tissue people, and I went on there.
All driving, one way and another. Now, so that was your career. Did you have any after effects of your RAF experiences, either physical or mental, do you think?
Well, I don't think so.
No nerves, no nightmares?
No, I couldn't think of, no. In actual fact, it's strange how you forget, over the years, you just forget all about it, and till I come up and meet Jim. And Jim is, he lives the RAF, Jim do.
Now, so what have you joined? You've joined the Air Gunners Association, haven't you?
I have joined the Air Gunners Association. I've joined the Bomber Group, and we belong to the Air Crew Association at Brentwood. Jim's got me out and about, actually.
Does it mean a lot to you now? It's a long time ago, you know.
Yeah, we go to this Air Crew Association at Brentwood, and we're all knocking on, aren't we? Like, you know, we. I mean, they used to get quite a few over there, but over the years, a lot of them have died off. We might be lucky if we get 20 over there. We go the third Thursday in the month. Last time, there's only 12. Ian, the old ex-squadron leader, our president, he likes you to get up and give a speech. I gave a talk and I wrote it out over there, more or less, about my time in the RAF, but some of them won't bother to get up and talk, That's how it is, isn't it?
Do you enjoy meeting the old... I mean, you don't meet any from your old crew. I mean, they're Canadian, do you enjoy meeting the old gunners and wireless operators?
Oh, yeah. When you go to the Union Jet Club, we meet there. Jim's told you about that, I suppose. And yeah, they're quite a nice crowd up there. Yeah, have a bit of a laugh with them, yeah.
Thank you very much.